Well, good morning. So good to see you. Very grateful that we're here today and get to spend this time together like this. And look forward to spending a few minutes with God's Word open and our minds focused on the things of heaven, the things of an eternal nature. We're going to talk about our easy life in Christ today. And I think as we go forward, you'll know what I mean. A common phrase that's heard in church buildings all across our great country today, as men are directing their prayers to heaven, is we hear something similar to this. I know you've heard it in the past. You've heard something like this: Father, we want to thank you that we live in this country where we can gather in this place to study and to worship without fear. Right? You've heard that growing up. You've heard that. We're so thankful, God, we get to come into this place. A lot of times, the way I heard it when I was really little, we get to come into this place without fear of molestation. So many Christians don't get to pray that prayer. They don't get to pray, we're thankful we get to come in here unconcerned with who's seen our cars outside, unconcerned with who's seen us walking across the street, walking through the parking lot, up into this structure, this place built, that we're not trying to make a secret out of it. We've got signs out front. We're seeking to advertise, hey, we've come here today to open up God's Word and to study and to worship. Now, don't misunderstand when I say we're going to talk about our easy life in Christ. I'm not naive. I'm not ignorant of how hard it can be to be faithful very often. I know the challenges. I know the temptations. I know the hardships. I know all of those difficult things that come with seeking to live faithfully to Jesus. I know how hard it is to stand up when society says, let's go this way, but Scripture says, no, you're to go this way. I know how hard it is to stand up when family or friends say, let's go this way, but Scripture says, no, you're to go this way. I know how confusing it can be when God doesn't seem to answer your prayers the way that you demand. I know how difficult it can be, how confusing it can be when you hurt, when you doubt, all of those things. There's a lot of things that are a struggle. And yet, when we approach this from this aspect, we've got it easy. We've got Bibles everywhere. We've got videos and websites, and we've got every advantage in the world to be able to come to know the things of God. And we can come into this place without fear. I mean, we're in a weird time. We've got doors locked. You know, we've got cameras. We're trying to stay safe. But we don't know what it is to really have to stand up and put your life on the line to identify with Jesus. As Brother Tommy a moment ago mentioned in his prayer, he prayed specifically for Obadiah Doka, a preacher in Nigeria. He prayed specifically for the Christians in Nigeria because they are in the middle of living a nightmare. You know, sometimes you see things that change your perspective. This might be not the best way in the world to illustrate this, but it identifies, it helps me understand, because I'm so into sports and things like that. And throughout the last few years, you know, there's been situations where men have, without excuse and have very wickedly punched, battered, abused women. And when the news first breaks, people are kind of like, ah, that's bad, he shouldn't have done that. But then when the video comes out, then things really get serious. You know, Ray Rice and Greg Hardy and some of these others, that when the news first broke, people are like, oh, that's bad. But then when they saw the video, that changed everything. Well, something similar to that, Obadiah Doka has been sending us emails for forever. And in those emails, he mentions, you know, things are hard, things are difficult, things are scary. But not too long ago, a little over a week ago, he actually sent a video. And that changed things. He sent a video, and I'm not going to give every detail because we have little kids in here and things like that, but he sent one of the most horrible, most graphic videos I've ever seen. Because people dared to stand up and say they identify with Jesus, their neighbors ended their life. The video begins with people sitting on a log in front of what appears to be some sort of a ditch. And there's a few people, you can think of a woman and a couple of men, sitting on this log. And then what you see coming into the video are people beating them with sticks. And they beat them with sticks until they can't sit up anymore and they roll down into this ditch. And then they cover them with branches and light the branches on fire. As they try to crawl out of the ditch, they're beaten back into the ditch in the fire. Unspeakable. Unbelievable. But it's what people are going through in places like Nigeria when they say, I choose to stand with Jesus. The others don't want to hear it and actually, literally take their life. Now, do you see why I've called this sermon Our Easy Life in Christ? We face a lot of challenges. We haven't faced that yet. We're blessed and we're fortunate and we're living in a time of freedom. Because right now we came into this place, public knowledge, that we've come here to worship. And I'm not afraid of being set on a log and be beaten. I'm not afraid of that. I'm not afraid of being set on fire today. I'm not afraid of that. The situation there in Nigeria, in some respects, reminds me of the passage that Chris read for us a moment ago. Acts chapter 7, maybe you've got your Bibles open there. And Stephen stands in front of this crowd. And Stephen basically says, after he gives this long history of God's people, he basically says three things. You murdered the prophets of God. You murdered the Savior, the Christ. And you don't keep the law. You murdered prophets. You murdered the Christ, and you're lawbreakers. You don't keep the commands of God. That's the summary there, the last little part of Stephen's sermon. And after he says that, after he says, and we can look at about verse 51 here of Acts 7. Acts 7, 51. You're stiff-necked, you're uncircumcised in heart and ears. You always resist the Holy Spirit as your fathers did, so do you. And here's point number one. Which of the prophets did your fathers not persecute? In other words, you persecuted all the prophets. And they killed those who announced beforehand. You killed the prophets. You killed the ones who announced the coming of the righteous one. And then number two, and him, the righteous one, you betrayed and murdered. So you killed the prophets, you killed the righteous one, and then this. And you received the law as delivered by angels, but didn't keep it. Killed the prophets, killed the son, didn't keep the law. And so it says in verse 54, when they heard these things, they were enraged, ground their teeth. And as he continues saying, I see the heavens opened. The Son of Man, the very one you murdered, I see him welcoming me. And it says in verse 57, they cried out with a loud voice. They stopped up their ears and they rushed upon him. And killed him. They heard a message they didn't like, and they killed him. You can feel the anger. You can feel the hate as you read these words. Just like you could feel the sadness and the pain displayed by those who were being attacked in Doka's video. You can feel the emotion spilling off here. So I want to ask you, thinking about these things, thinking about the way that the first century church faced persecution and death for standing with Jesus, thinking about how some people this minute today are hiding in order to worship, hiding in order to not be put to death because of their identification with Jesus, knowing that many face persecution. How should we be impacted? How should we change? How should we think? What should our hearts and our minds be like, knowing the reality of the situation in the rest of the world? Well, let me begin here. Let me say, number one, what we should do is we should give thanks for our safety. We should give thanks for our safety, for our physical safety. Go with me to a place like 1 Timothy chapter 2. If and when we are blessed to live in a place that knows peace, when we live in a place that knows safety, we should be so thankful. Paul taught Timothy to pray like this. 1 Timothy 2, verse 1. First of all, then, I urge that supplications and prayers and intercessions and thanksgivings be made for all people, for kings and all who are in high positions, that we may lead a peaceful and quiet life, godly and dignified in every way. You and I, living where we live, we should be thankful. And we should express that to God on a regular basis. We should express how thankful we are to live in the time and the place that we do. That we can come here and sing the way we've sung today. We can pray boldly today. We all bowed our heads, closed our eyes, and closed off to the rest of the world, and took time to pray, not wondering if someone was going to sneak in and whack us in the head with a stick while we did it. We should give thanks for the safety we enjoy. But this type of safety is one thing. It's nice, and it's to be desired, but it's not supreme. The real kind of safety that we should be thankful for is the kind of safety that can only be offered by God and is not connected to circumstances. It's the exact same kind of safety that the people in Nigeria know of, that the people in Cuba know of. Read with me in Romans chapter 8. Romans 8, beginning at verse 31. What shall we say to these things? If God's for us, who can be against us? He who did not spare his own son, but gave him up for us all, how will he not with him also graciously give us all things? Who shall bring any charge against God's elect? It's God who justifies. Who's to condemn? Christ Jesus is the one who died, and more than that, who's raised, and who's at the right hand of God, who indeed is interceding for us. Who shall separate us from the love of Christ? Shall tribulation, or distress, or persecution, or famine, or nakedness, or danger, or sword? Can the terror of Nigeria separate us from the love of God? It's written, for your sake we're being killed all the day long. We're regarded as sheep to be slaughtered. No, in all these things we are more than conquerors through him who loved us. For I'm sure that neither death, nor life, nor angels, nor rulers, nor things present, nor things to come, nor powers, nor height, nor depth, nor anything else in all creation will be able to separate us from the love of God in Christ Jesus our Lord. And then flip with me to the fourth psalm. You might note Psalm 31, verses 1 through 5, but I want to read the fourth psalm. Answer me when I call, O God of my righteousness. You've given me relief when I was in distress. Be gracious to me and hear my prayer. O men, how long shall my honor be turned to shame? How long will you love vain words and seek after lies? But know that the Lord has set apart the godly for himself. The Lord hears when I call to him. That's not qualified. That's all the time. When I'm on the mountaintop, when I'm in the valley, when I'm confident, when I'm afraid, he hears when I call. Be angry and do not sin. Ponder in your own hearts on your beds and be silent. Offer right sacrifices and put your trust in the Lord. There are many who say, who will show us some good? Lift up the light of your face upon us, O Lord. But the psalmist says, but I say, you have put more joy in my heart than they have when their grain and wine abound. In peace I'll both lie down and sleep. For you alone, O Lord, make me dwell in safety. Doesn't matter what he's facing. Doesn't matter what the circumstance is. Doesn't matter what the people outside the doors are doing. He dwells in safety because he knows God. And the promise is the same for you and me. Knowing him, being in his presence, means safety. I ask you, can you calmly, can you confidently say that you are safe spiritually? Listen to the confidence that Paul had in 2 Timothy chapter 4, verse 18. The Lord will rest. Now, he doesn't say, I sure hope. He doesn't say, well, maybe. He says, the Lord will rescue me from every evil deed and bring me safely into his heavenly kingdom. You and I can have that same kind of confidence. That's not arrogance. That is humble submission to the truth of God's word. If God says things can and will be like this, for us to accept that and believe that is not arrogance. It's submitting to his truth. And so the scripture says this, if you and I will confess that Jesus Christ is Lord, Romans 10, 9 and 10, if you and I believe from the depths of our soul that the tomb is empty, that Jesus rose from the grave on the third day, if you and I, Acts 2:38, if you and I repent of sin and will turn to Jesus Christ and be immersed, put into a watery grave, coming up to a brand new life, the promise of Scripture is forgiveness. The promise of Scripture is the Holy Ghost. The promise of Scripture is safety. And so you and I can say with Paul, the Lord will rescue me from every evil deed and bring me safely into his heavenly kingdom. I ask you, can you say that with Paul today? If you can, you should give thanks for your safety. If you can't, you'd better seek to make things right today. The second thing is this. Knowing what we know about what people like Stephen and what people like Doka have and are going through, I want you to be encouraged to display great strength. Whenever ugly things happen, when scary things happen, sometimes the inclination is to freeze. Let me tell you, there's not many things that make the devil more happy than for us to be paralyzed with fear. He loves it when you freeze in your tracks, not being brave enough to take the next step. He loves it. He's thrilled with it. That's why so often the Lord says to his people, like in one place would be Joshua chapter 1, verses 6 through 9. Joshua 1, 6 through 9. You might turn there as I make reference to it. The Lord is preparing Joshua and his men to go and take the promised land. And so over and over and over again in those few verses, Joshua 1, 6 through 9, he says, be strong. But he keeps connecting it, not because you've been working out. He says, be strong because I'm with you. Wherever you go, I'm with you. I've given you my word, I've given you my will, I've given you my command, and if you keep that and if you keep me in the forefront of who you are, I'm with you. You have nothing to fear. In Ephesians chapter 6, verse 10, Paul summarizes those words like this, be strong in the Lord in the strength of his might. Be strong in the Lord in the strength of his might. Many wait to repent. So many wait to be immersed into Christ. So many are consumed what others might be thinking. It scares them. They're afraid of the unknown. They're afraid of the future, and so they refuse to act. Many are afraid about the way that friends and family will react when they disagree on spiritual matters. This is a problem all the time. We admit it can be uncomfortable to discuss differences. People, myself included, people hate to hear they're wrong. People hate to hear that they've misunderstood the word and the will of God. Look at how the crowd in Acts 7 reacted to Stephen. He says, "You're lawbreakers. You're not keeping the law of God." They didn't say, "Ah, good point." They rushed upon him in anger. They said, they stopped their ears. "We don't want to hear you telling us we're wrong." People often get ugly. They get violent when somebody tells them that their current life is not in accord with the plan of God. Those people in northern Nigeria, by implication, when these people left their former religion to stand with and claim, you know, they stand with Jesus, by implication, all these other people realize, well, you're telling me I'm wrong. Because if I don't come over to that side with you, what you're telling me is I'm wrong, and I won't stand for that. Seeing things like this, when we see these ugly images, when you see these hurtful things, it should make things like death real for us. C.S. Lewis once said, back during World War II, C.S. Lewis said that one of the good things, he was looking, what can be a good thing that comes from war? He said a good thing that can come from war is that it makes death real to us. It makes us think about our mortality. It makes us think about how there's coming an end to this life in a very thoughtful kind of way. Most of us just speed right through life without giving much thought to the end. Most of us speed right through life without thinking about eternity until it's too late. We don't think very often about Hebrews 9:27. It's appointed unto man once to die and then judgment. 2 Corinthians 5:11. We know the fear of the Lord, therefore we seek to persuade others. Death is real, and it's going to find 100% of us unless the Lord comes back first. We need to be prepared to face it with confidence. So when we see these things, we hear of these things, we need to make a decision. I'm going to live in the power of the might of Jesus Christ today. I'm not going to put it off any longer. I'm not going to be afraid anymore of those unknown things that have been holding me back. I'm not going to be afraid anymore of those things that have been causing me to have my feet in concrete. I'm moving on. And part of that means not only recognizing our own situation, but thirdly and finally, it means seeking to help other people be guided to safety. When you know that people are dying because of their belief, when you know that people are killing other people because of their belief, it ought to, more than ever before, stir up something inside of you to say, I want to make sure that I'm leading people to safety. That nobody's going to be able to say that because of my influence or the lack of my influence, I led people away from safety. To which destiny are we guiding people? Matthew chapter 7, verses 13 and 14 make it crystal clear. There's two destinies. Not a choice C. You know, there's no number 3 or 4 or 5. There's two destinies. The narrow path that leads to that narrow gate. The broad path that leads to the broad gate. The narrow path leads to life. The broad path leads to death. Jesus would say it this way in Matthew 25. There's only sheep and goats. There's only the left hand and the right hand. There's only those ushered into life and those ushered to death. That's it. No third possibility. And so for you and me, the question becomes, what is it that I'm doing with this opportunity? Knowing people are being taken to death. Knowing people are being led not just to their physical death, but their spiritual death. What am I doing? Again, let me quote from Lewis. In that same book, he wrote this, "There are no ordinary people." This is what he meant. You've never talked to someone who doesn't have an eternal soul. You have never once in your life come in contact with someone who's not going to go on and exist somewhere forever. And he says, in essence, what each one of us are doing is every time we have an interaction, every time we come in contact with people, we're either taking burdens off of them or we're putting burdens on them. Every time we come in contact with people, we're either helping them, leading them to something good, or we're leading them to something bad. And he says, what you must do is remember, you've never, ever, ever, no matter what the person looks like, no matter where the person's from, you've never met an ordinary person. Every person you've met is going to exist somewhere forever. And so what are you doing with that time granted to be with them? All day long, to some degree, we're either helping each other or hurting one another when it comes to going to these destinations. Part of this has to do, I'm convinced, with the way we react to ugly news. The way we react to the persecution of Christians. Let me give you a few more numbers, a few stats here before we quit. An average, now think about this, as you let it sink in at how nice things are, it's beautiful outside, you know, here in a few minutes, and I don't want to get your mind taken from where it should be, but the point is this, in a few minutes you're going to be sitting down at some great meal, maybe you or your grandmother or somebody, you know, somebody's cooked something good, or some place of business is cooking up something good, and you're going to enjoy something nice, you're going to have a nice day, it's beautiful. Every single Sunday, at least 5 churches are attacked in Africa. Every Sunday, at least 5, sitting, doors busted open, people hurt. Now, I recognize Africa's a big place, but how many? If it happens once here in this country, it makes the news for months. Every Sunday, at least 5. In 2015, more than 2,400 churches were attacked. And more than 7,000 people were killed in those attacks on Sundays. So think about this. In 1 year, 7,000 people died because they went to worship God. Hearing information like this ought to shock us. And I think oftentimes people in the West, like in the United States, that does shock us. But people in Africa, they hear that, those stats with a... because it's so normal, it's so second nature. They don't react with the same shock. They don't react with the same horror. They react with a shrug. In the video that I told you about, what's happening here is that, in essence, as I can see, is what I can deduce is going on, is that basically the whole village has come out. And the whole village is standing around and watching as these few people are being beaten and killed. The beating is only taking place by about 3 or 4 different men. There's 3 or 4 that are doing it. The rest of the village is standing around. And now note this, the village, they're not cheering. They're not saying, yes, we're happy what's happening. But the village is also not crying. They're not pleading with the people to stop. The village is basically standing and watching, as if they're just watching people cross the street. They're just watching, emotionless nearly, as these people are put to their death. The point that I want to make from that is this, as we close. When Jesus presented His eternal truth to people in the first century, some reacted with violence, some reacted with joy, some just stared and moved on. If you'll note very quickly with me in your Bibles, I want you to look at Luke 5:26. After Jesus healed a paralyzed man, it says that they, with amazement, they glorified God and they said, we've seen extraordinary things here today. But then on the other side of the coin, in Luke chapter 4, verses 28 and 29, after Jesus had said, I fulfill Isaiah 61. When he said that, it says, when they heard these things, all in the synagogue were filled with wrath. And they rose up and drove him out of the town, brought him to the bow of a hill on which the town was built, and they were going to throw him off the cliff. So at some points, the crowd wanted to kill him. At other points, the crowd wanted to glorify him. So my question as we close this morning is this. When you're presented with the eternal truth of Jesus, when you're presented with the fact that some of your brothers and sisters, some people who seek to identify with Christ are being killed because of that, how do you react? Do you react with anger? Do you react with indifference? What I want us to do today is to be thankful for the safety we do enjoy. I want us to display great strength and to continue to stand with the Lord. And the Lord would have us to help guide others to a place of safety. There's a lot of challenges in this life. Feeling safe may or may not be with one of them. But what you can have, no matter what else is going on around us, you and I can enjoy the safe life that comes from being in Christ Jesus, even today. Have the courage to come to Him in faith and obedience and begin living and experiencing the safety offered only by Jesus Christ. Won't you come while we stand and sing?